So this will be part one as we continue convictions and consequences, the human condition. We've talked about God, we've talked about the Bible, and I would encourage you to go back and watch those just to make sure, because they build on one another, sort of a biblical theology as we trace our way, starts with God, what does the Bible say? Now we're going to talk about the creation of man and sin, and then Jesus, and ultimately end time events. Your handouts, they are on the back lectern that most of you have that have all the verses. So if you want to do your homework, you can get as much or little out of this as you want. But that I would encourage you to look up, because that, I don't have time to cover all that scripture. Tomorrow is President's Day. So we are remembering presidents. James Madison once said, talking about our form of government, if men were angels, no government would be necessary. If angels were to govern men, neither external nor internal controls on government would be necessary. Folks, and we've talked about this a couple years ago, the Constitution, the genius of our founding, the separation of powers, federalism, that government, God has ordained government to help avoid anarchy, because guess what? People are not angels. Government is not angels. John Adams once famously said, our Constitution, our form of government, which I think we all agree is best in the world, was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. So the founders recognized human nature, that there need to be controls, and that we need to make sure we are not allowing to run free. Because when we talk about sin, folks, unfortunately in the church, we don't understand this topic very well. So, yep, how many of you have ever been up to Mount Rushmore? Isn't that spectacular? That is just amazing. So the state of American theology, once again, these are Bible-believing evangelicals, but folks that believe in biblical authority, and also that Jesus is the Savior, the one for today. God created male and female. 97% of people agree. That's good. I don't know about the 3%, but for today, that's all we'll talk. I'll give you more, of course, when it comes to sin next week. And so as we talk about convictions, what we believe, these are principles, folks, that hopefully when we transform our minds by the renewing of the word, it's what we believe that then hopefully we actually believe enough to put into practice. Creeds, we've been using my statement of faith from the Evangelical Free Church just because it's very orthodox, but we here at CFC use the Apostles' Creed, which is a very orthodox, in fact that's a word, orthodox, just the main things is what we're going to talk about, and every now and then there might be a few differences that I'll point out as we go along the way. Ultimately, it's because we want to get to what we believe should impact how we behave and our worldviews. And so when it comes to right thinking versus culture and all those, when we talk about the isms, existentialism and secularism and all those things we've talked about in the past, that's the way the world thinks, folks. We ought to recognize that that is secular, here and now versus eternal. And ultimately, we want to apply this to our lives, don't we? Yes, we do. I know you're all nodding on the inside. And so today we're going to start, we're not going to so much get, but God's gospel, the good news, God's gospel alone addresses our deepest need, which will be more next week when we get to the sin. So what are some of the convictions about what are we looking at to renew our minds? Well, it's printed in the bulletin, you have all the verses, but we believe that God created Adam and Eve in his image. But they sinned when tempted by Satan. In union with Adam, human beings are sinners by nature and by choice, alienated from God and under his wrath. Only through God's saving work, victory in Jesus, right? In Jesus Christ, can we be rescued, reconciled, and renewed. And so we're going to look primarily at the first part of that this week. We'll talk. You get a week off before we talk about the sin stuff, because sin, we don't like talking about sin, do we? And unfortunately, a lot of churches, we don't talk about sin. That ain't going to happen here. As a former pastor once told me, Herschel said, Dieter, you're an expert on sin. Now, what does that mean? But you know that that's, you know, when we talk about Pastor Dieter's three points. Sin, if we don't understand that, folks, we're not going to get the rest of it right. So that's one of the reasons we're going to take the time. So what are some of the things? When it comes to creation, that God created Adam and Eve, and they are in his image. That's what we're going to talk about today, and then we're going to talk more about the fall and all those other things, and then get to God's saving work. That'll be more next week. So now, the right thinking leading to our behavior, what are some implications for our lives? You know, those, that doctrinal statement. Well, what are some things that should impact us in how we live our lives? So first of all, under creation, we talked about this, where God created. Do we believe that God is the creator, created ex nihilo, out of nothing? That was Article 1. You know, we didn't discuss how long that took, how old, that's not important. I believe the Bible teaches about that, but the big thing is God created. And so part of his creation that I read, on that sixth day, God created Adam and Eve in mankind in his image. Sometimes you hear that Latin phrase, imago Dei, the image of God. Why is that important? What does that have to do with our daily lives? Well, first of all, it was a special act of God that he announced that creation separate from all the other beasts and all the animals and stars, sun, moon, stars. It was a special act of God. We as human beings, folks, have a derived dignity. We are given dignity because we are in the image of God. No other creature, no other part of creation is listed that way. The image and likeness, and there's a lot of study about what that means. But ultimately, we are created by God, we are dependent on God, and we are responsible to God. Right there, folks, the world doesn't get that they are responsible to the God that they don't believe in, who created them, whether they believe it or not. See, this is how the world thinks, folks. We should think better than that. And so we are the only created beings, as human beings, male, female, even with 3/8 of a brain, like Dennis, we are created in the image of God to have a personal relationship with God. Folks, that's important. Okay, humans alone, we represent image, likeness. We represent and reflect God. We are the pinnacle of God's creation. Right there, the world does not believe that. We are, if you will, vice regents of God's creation. I read that. We have a responsibility to do what? To have dominion over the creation. You know, some of the words, rule, subdue, we are to be stewards of creation. And part of that, when Adam named the animals, man has a role in naming. Giving names is very important in the Bible. You know, parents name children today. Some of the names today I see are different than names back in our day, but that shows a form of authority. And Adam named Eve. Whoa, man. And so there was a relationship there that shows ultimately that mankind, male and female in this case, we are the pinnacle. We are to have dominion and be good stewards of creation. What does that mean? Folks, turn on the news. Climate change, environmentalism, those things. It's important. We need to be good stewards. But the minute we lose sight of our responsibility versus ultimately as what is ultimately important, and we're more concerned about fill in the blank, trees, snails, or whatever it is, we are perverting God's creation. I hope you understand that. Pets are important. We love them. You know, Billy's, Richard and Nancy, Billy, you know, is talking about his dog is probably going to be have to put down. We pets are wonderful. They are not people. Amen. Okay? A survey was done, and I challenge us, because our dogs, I mean, I've showed you pictures of Reuben, love him to death, but he's a dog. Okay? They did a survey. If your pet were on the ice in a pond, and if ever this happened to what I'm sorry, I'm not trying to bring up bad memories. If your dog was on ice in the winter and went through the ice, and a stranger was on the ice and went through the ice, which would you save? What do you think most people said? That is a perversion and moral equivalency. Now, that's not to downgrade our pets, But that is a misunderstanding, a bad worldview about what is the pinnacle of creation, the Imago Dei. Folks, human worth and dignity, the second commandment, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and the second is life. Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? God's people, the image of God. So, can you think of some things in our culture when we dehumanize human beings? Things like, folks, abortion. Okay? Now, if any of you ladies have had an abortion, that, you know, that is a sin like any other. It's not the unforgivable sin. But folks, that is taking of human life. I want to be clear about that. And we as Christians need to be clear about that. Now, once again, if you've had one, there's forgiveness at the cross. You know, we are good at picking and choosing sins that, you know, guys, we're against abortion because we can't have one yet. But the way our culture is going, pretty soon guys are probably going to be able to. But abortion. Okay. In this crowd, I'd be a little more concerned with euthanasia, okay? You folks are using up too many resources. We need to get rid of you people. And so that's why, remember Jack Kevorkian? Remember some of that? That's why, folks, human life is precious. And when we downgrade it, you know, the Nazis, what did they do to the Jews? You dehumanize so that then you can excuse murdering people. You call it a viable tissue mass. You call it a fetus so that you can dehumanize, which fetus is a Latin term for baby, but from conception. And so the idea of taking of human life, folks, when we cheapen that as a culture, we in the church ought to understand that. Bioethical issues. If you've been watching the news about the doctors over in China and the genetic strain and how we can manipulate genes so that we can, you know, maybe cure some, you know, Down syndrome, things like that. That's one thing, but there's an ethical line when we start doing designer babies. You know what? I don't want my child unless we can manipulate him to be 8 foot tall and play in the NBA and be my retirement package. Folks, that's coming. When we mess around and don't appreciate the image, the Imago Dei. Now, here's one that may seem counterintuitive. You know, war, murder, the crime of murder, killing people is wrong, which is why biblically capital punishment is important. Why? Well, that's being hypocritical. You know, you're against abortion, and now you want to murder people with capital punishment? No. We put to death, because life is so precious, and for the capital crime of, in our culture, really first-degree murder, after all, you know, trial, and we want justice, life is so precious, you take human life, your life is forfeit. Didn't make that up. Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made him. Okay, folks, do you understand that? Now, I mean, and that's it. You want to talk about a divisive issue. And so you have folks that, you know, life, imprisonment, all that. Okay, justice is very important. But when it comes to capital punishment, read Romans chapter 13. God gives the authority of the sword to government. Now, there's wicked governments. They're not angels, right? But the authority to maintain order, and one of them is punishing crime. So that all flows out of the idea of the image of God, folks. Human life is precious. And then, just Adam and Eve. It should seem obvious, but I can guarantee you that a lot of this gets dismissed in culture, but unfortunately in the church. Adam and Eve are historical people. God created them particular, a gendered creation, male and female. Adam and Eve, and man and woman, they are cisgender, if you know what that term is, because one of the discussions that comes up, transgenderism and gender dysphoria, you know, there's a lot of unfortunate sin that goes on. Once again, not the unforgivable sin, but confusion when we don't accept what God has said. And by making them male and female, there is a relational interaction, males and females. If you were here yesterday, we saw a beautiful picture of that, a wedding. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. God created that one flesh, heterosexual marriage bond. Folks, that look at our culture. Look at our state government. This is, when this gets confused, unfortunately, we are perverting what God has said, and it's not good for us. God doesn't give us these laws, commandments, just to be a mean old God to make us not have any fun. It is for our good. And we're seeing some of the consequences of that in our nation, around the world, things like that. And so the idea of procreation, be fruitful, multiply. Folks, children are a blessing, right? Nod your head, your children, despite, you know, poor El Guapo back there. David, you know, now I know why tigers eat their young. No. No, David's a good son. But children are a blessing. What does that have to tell us? Though, children are not the most important relationship in your life. Okay? How many times, and I won't name it, but do it for the children. It's all about the children. No, it's your relationship with God ought to be first. But if you are married, that one flesh relationship and divorce and things, and once again, sin happens, not the unforgivable sin, but if the marriage is strong, that is more important than the relationship to the children. When you put your children above your spouse, now you've got problems. That's not the way God designed it. Okay, and once again, we all make mistakes. I'm not preaching at you. This is for us, but this is what God's word says. And culture gets that wrong. It's more about, we're more concerned when children get, you know, hurt somehow, as opposed to other people getting hurt. We love children. They are Psalm 127. Happy is the man whose, they're like arrows in a quiver. Happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. But they are ought to be third in your relationship after God and your spouse. You don't get that spouse relationship right, guess what happens with the children? So it's not the main relationship. And then let me just read from 1 Corinthians chapter 6 when it comes to relationship, sexual relationships, how God designed it. Do you not know, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where he's talking about in the context that we, as the church, as Christians, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the church, not this building, nice building we've got here, but we are the church indwelt by the Holy Spirit. More on that when we get to the Holy Spirit. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, Paul says. But you were washed, you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And so, aberrations of the way God designed one man, one wife, one man, one woman. So all the others, adultery, fornication, that's sex outside of marriage. We have pornography. Lots of things in our culture, folks, that are a perversion of what God designed. And of course, homosexuality. These are not what ultimately is best for man. Not that God wants us not to have fun. No, but there's danger in there, and that's not the way God designed it. And we as the church, you know, we have to be able to stand to, we have to love people enough to confront sin, but do it in a loving manner. And so don't take my tone as this, you know, those people. Folks, when it gets to next week, we are all more responsible than culture because they don't know any better. If they're not Christians, folks, they're still sinning, but they are in bondage to that sin. We ought to know better. And especially pastors, you know, maybe the collar shouldn't even be white, right? Like I was talking about. It's all sin in our lives. And so we like to pick and choose, and guess what sins we like to pick out? The ones we don't struggle with, right? There's nothing, no worse sin than your sin. You know, let's not talk about me though. And so when it comes to some of these sexual things, it's very easy for the church to come down and say, yeah, you're all going to burn in hell. Okay, folks, sin. There's enough sin to go around. But this all flows out of what God, how God has designed humanity, male and female, and the idea ultimately of what that does. And so then as the pinnacle of creation, as the psalmist says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained. I mean, look at creation. Look at that view. Beautiful. But what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him? So folks, we are the pinnacle. Tell me how the world, the environment, you know, all the things where if you skew that, you know, stewards of creation, okay, I got that. But we are what is most important to God, not this. It was designed for us. And this was in the church, you all know the Galileo and the whole, the earth is the center of the universe. And we didn't want the earth to go around the sun because that made it seem like somehow the Bible was wrong. No, that doesn't negate the fact that we, earth and humans, are the pinnacle of God's creation. That creation declares his glory. But ultimately, we are the pinnacle of that creation and that glory. So, what does that mean for our everyday lives? Folks, some of us may struggle with depression, guilt, self-esteem. Okay? This should give us hope that we are created in the image of God. Folks, if you are a Christian, you are a child of the King. We have a purpose in life. Sometimes people struggle with a loss of purpose. Did you see the news in Aurora, Illinois? In fact, this summer, that's about three blocks from where my hotel is, that I'll be going to our national conference this year, where the guy went in, got fired, going to get fired. Well, you know, I don't know what's driving, but you lose your purpose, who knows, and causes people to go then kill people, the sanctity of life. Folks, we as Christians, we have a purpose in life. Do you get that? Because there are a lot of there's a lot of struggling with this, a lot of counseling necessary, because we don't feel worthy. Well, guess what? You know, and we'll talk about this next week. A healthy understanding. Yeah, you're dirt. You're a sinner. But you know what? God loved you enough to send Jesus that we can have victory in Jesus. And so, more on balancing that. But right now, the positive message is we have a purpose. We are unique and special because you are created in the image of God as Christians. Even non-Christians still have, if you will, that they are in the image of God, of course, but they're not redeemed. But that is why they are worth witnessing to and telling them of their Savior. So, the pinnacle of creation, but as the astronauts once said, Houston, we have a problem. And so we'll talk about the glory of chapter 2 in Genesis, like we read, male and female, one flesh relationship, the importance of marriage, Imago Dei, image of God. Next week we'll pick up here with Genesis 3, the fall and sin. We've got a problem. And as Mark Twain said, man's the only creature, he's no Christian himself necessarily, man is the only creature in all creation that can blush. And he's the only creature that needs to. So we'll talk more about that next week. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. It is convicting in all our lives about how far we fall short of your glory. And we thank you for your purposeful, very good creation that we do quite a job messing up. Help us as Christians to be able to look around us and see the perversions of what you have done, not out of arrogance, not out of judgmental attitudes, but out of sorrow. Help us, give us the opportunity to share the good news of the ultimate solution, which of course is to be redeemed by the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in our lives. So we thank you for creation. We thank you that you are the creator, that we don't have to be. Help us to recognize our place as creatures, but that we have a special place. May we honor and sanctify life in everything we do. And it's for your glory's sake, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.